My name is Michael Grahek. This is my wife, Luann. And the FOF class is about 23 weeks long, so including today. So we'll meet again for 22 weeks. The very last class is just kind of a Q&A class, so it's not mandatory. I think we'll go a little bit more into the homework and things in a little bit, but if you turn in all the homework, then at the end of the class, you will get a certificate, and maybe even have one here. An old one, yeah. This is, I had them print up before the class is over, just so I have them available when the class ends for students who complete. So, this was for Jessica Saldivar, but she didn't turn in all her homework. So, when she sends me the rest of her homework, I'll send her the certificate. And, you know, these are very valuable. You can put them up on the wall in your office next to your PhD and your BA and all that. This in the end, will probably be your most prized certificate. So, but, no, I just in jest. It's great. If you do the homework, you get more out of the class for sure. And the goal here is to learn about what it is that you say you believe, right? And on top of that, to also be able then to be able to share that with someone who doesn't know the Lord. And so that's why we're here. So as you complete those forms there, if you pass them to your right, my wife will pick those up, all right? So before we get started, any questions? Any questions? All right. So let me pray for us, and then we'll start going through the intro here. So Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for just bringing everyone here that you have sovereignly chosen to participate. We pray for those who might be on their way, Lord, that you would just give them safe passage. And we are thankful, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to study your word. To learn about you, to learn about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, salvation, the church, just all the topics we'll cover this this class time. And Lord, we just pray that through this, you would help us to understand who you are, and in that, that you would enable us then to live righteously and in a way that is pleasing to you. So I pray for everyone here, Lord, that you would open their eyes and ears to hear your word, allow them to put it deeply in their heart and to live it out. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me tell you how the class operates. This is not a lecture class. I'm not up here preaching. This is a discussion class. And this is how we learn is through discussion of Scripture. And so I will call on people, I'll ask questions, sometimes call on people directly, bounce questions off of each other, and in that way, we will learn about what the Scripture has to say, okay? So, with that said, Ro, can you read what's on the screen here? What's the purpose of FOF?
To have assurance of eternal life, to become equipped for ministry, to know God more deeply.
Yes. So, I desire for all of you that, in fact, if you are not saved or you do not have assurance of salvation, that through this class, as we go through what the fundamentals of our faith are, is that you will indeed be assured of your salvation. So, just as a question, do you think it's possible for someone to have false assurance? Do you think that's possible? Yeah. Let me give you an example of what that could lead to. Let's say that you come over to our house and just tell me you have a horrible, horrible headache. And I say, well, okay, if you go into the medicine cabinet, there is a white bottle or a bottle on the right-hand side of the cabinet, and there's an aspirin. You can go get yourself an aspirin. But in your confusion, you go in, instead of getting the bottle on the right, you get the bottle on the left, and you take a pill out of there and eat it. And in your mind, you had full assurance that you took an aspirin. But in reality, what you did is you took my Digitalis, my heart medicine. And by taking that heart medicine, you're going to die. So even though you had the full assurance that you took aspirin, you didn't. Likewise, if we believe in the wrong thing, if we have assurance in anything but Jesus Christ for our salvation, where are we going to end up? We're going to end up in hell, right? That's why it's so important that we know what we know and that what we are trusting in is the truth, right? For something to be true, what is the definition of truth? Joe, what's the definition? Give me a definition of truth.
Opposite of a lie.
Opposite of a lie, okay.
Opposite of
a lie. That's a comparison one to another. But if you want to tell somebody, what is truth? And didn't somebody ask that to Jesus once? Or Jesus said truth and then Pilate said, what is truth? Right? Well, for something to be true, it has to be true everywhere, all the time, for everyone. Right? So, when we talk about the truth of Scripture, we have to recognize it's true all the time, everywhere, for everyone. Okay, so we want to make sure that what we believe is true and God's Word is true. Right? Anything that disagrees with God's Word, by definition, what does that make it? False, right? And we have to constantly measure what we hear against God's Word. That is our magnifying glass, if you were that is our perspective on life. Okay. All right. So, what I'd like to do now is if we could just go around the room and give us your name, where you were born, you know, what your hobbies are, how long you've been attending Grace Community Church, children, if any, and then why are you taking this class? So, just as a thought here is that, you know, any church you go to that is a Christian church should have the same foundational beliefs as any other Christian church you go to. And if it doesn't, if you go to a church and those foundational beliefs are not consistent with what is historic biblical Christianity, what kind of church would that be? It wouldn't be a Christian church, would it?
Right.
So, you'll find out that what Grace Church here teaches is going to be very similar to what, you know, any other fundamental Christian church is going to teach. And if you want to look at it, I think on the website, you can go to Grace Church website, and it'll say what we believe, and there's a doctrinal statement there. And so, if you ever have to leave or move somewhere, that's one thing you would do is check churches and check their doctrinal statement before you ever go. So. Oh, did I mention we do have memorization also, just one verse per lesson. So not too hard, but you know. This book is, does your say on the top by John MacArthur, introduction by John MacArthur. So this was, and this is mine from when we took it in 2010, but the training class, but the book itself was published probably in the mid-2000s. Before that, it was just a handout, you know, with the lessons on it, and they formalized it and put it together, but it's been used at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley for 30, 40 years maybe, a long, long time, so it's great, and it's come from John MacArthur's, the church, and the people there put it together, so it's pretty solid stuff, so. Okay, well, great. All of you, welcome. So the first lesson is Introduction to the Bible, and that we will spend, I think, 1 week on that, and then we'll talk about, you know, what is the Bible, right? What is its origin? Who wrote it? Why is it special? And what's the big picture? So, I mean, what is the number one, let's see, if I ask this question right. What was the number one or the first thing that Satan did when he was tempting Eve?
Did God say,
right? Is it, he was already questioning God's word. Right? And that's what this world does, right? It's always questioning the veracity of God's word. And so one thing we'll do is we'll discuss really where the Bible came from and is it trustworthy? How did we get it in our hands? What's in it? You know, so that's good. And then talk about how to know the Bible. What's the best way to learn it? Okay. How do I get a good grasp on it? How do I study it and interpret it? Right? Have you ever come across a passage and you read it and it just doesn't seem to make sense? Well, where would you go to get information about a specific passage and try and get deeper meaning out of it? And then we'll talk about God and his character and his attributes. So when we talk about attributes, what is an attribute? So we talk about an attribute of God. Somebody give me an attribute of God. What's an attribute of God?
Sovereignty.
Sovereign. He's sovereign, right? What else?
Omnipresent.
He's omnipresent, right? What does that mean?
To be everywhere.
He's everywhere, right? Omni meaning everywhere, present, right? He's omnipotent, all-powerful, right? R.C. Sproul, when he talked about God's knowledge, that he's omniscient, right? Is that there is not a molecule, there is not a rogue molecule in the universe. Right? Think about how big the universe is. There's not one molecule that's not doing exactly what God has determined it to do. It talks about how, you know, think about God's omniscience to know everything, but also the power of everything. Okay, we will talk about then the person of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Why should I believe that he is God? Why believe he was a man? What kind of authority did he have? And of course, what do the cults always attack? What is the one thing cults attack?
Christ's divinity.
That's right, the divinity of Christ. That Christ is God, right? They'll attack the Trinity, right? The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even some churches kind of, I think there's a denomination called One Pentecostal, right? And so they'll believe in God, but they don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that God exists in three different modes, but not at the same time. So he could be, God could be in the mode of God the Father, in the mode of Jesus Christ, or the mode of the Holy Spirit. And that's called modalism. But then you can always take it to the moment there where Jesus is baptized, right? And then what happened there? You hear all three of the persons of the Trinity are there. The Holy Spirit, there's Jesus, and then the voice of God, right? Okay, and then we'll talk about the work of Christ, what he did. And how does that relate to us? Right. What is the main ministry of, what was the main purpose of Christ's work? And then the Holy Spirit, salvation, then the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to salvation a little bit here. How does God grant salvation? Right. What is predestination? Right. And we'll get there. In fact, this is a great question. When you talk about predestination, what is the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism? Right? What is the big argument between them? And it is predestination, right? Predestination is that God beforehand determined who would be saved. Right? Arminianism is that a person has to make a decision on their own about whether they believe or not. Those are huge differences. So we'll talk about that when we get into salvation. And then we'll talk about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, who is the Holy Spirit? How does he relate to me and how do I relate to him? What is the main ministry of the Holy Spirit? Slain in the spirit? Can you be slain in the spirit, right? What is that? Where does that come from? Yeah. Anyway, there's lots of, I don't want to call them churches, but there's lots of these pseudo churches who will use words like that. And, you know, a pastor will get up and just say they were slain in the spirit and they started to prophesy. So if you're in a church and you hear that, what's the first thing you should do?
Run.
Look for the exits, right? Look for the exits, right? Because that's a false church. Number one, are there any prophets today? Is there anybody out there giving new prophecy?
No.
No, there's not, right? If they're giving a prophecy and it's true, it means that it's already in the Bible, right? And if they're given a prophecy that's not in the Bible, you know what they used to do in Leviticus? It says that a prophet who gives a false prophecy, you know what they're supposed to do with them? Stone them, right? That's how they make sure that people don't give false prophecy, right? So, but somebody who jumps up and down and says that the Spirit, or last night I got a vision from God, and then they come and talk to their flock about that, is it, you know, look for the exits for that. So, that church. Okay. And then we'll talk about prayer in the believer. When we pray to God, are we telling God anything He doesn't already know? Right? We say He was omniscient. He already knows everything. He already knows everything about us, right? So what is it then when we're praying to God? What are we doing? So we'll talk about that. The church then, we'll talk about fellowship and worship. You know, how is the church to be structured? What is the responsibility of the church to individuals? And what is my responsibility to the church? And what is true worship? We'll talk about all those things. And then we'll talk about evangelism. We'll talk about spiritual gifts, right? What are spiritual gifts? Where do you get spiritual gifts? Do you get spiritual gifts on an ongoing basis? Or do you just get one gift? Does anybody know? How many gifts does a person have?
All of them.
You have the ability to utilize all of them. Yeah.
So, these are all good questions. When does the gift come? When does a person receive the gift? What's the difference between a gift, spiritual gift, and talent?
God determines what gift you get and when you get it. Mm-hmm.
Well, the when part. Okay, what do you mean by that? Is it like, suppose you're saved today, do you then receive spiritual gifts throughout your Christian life? That's why it's a topic in here. We're going to find out. See, now somebody's going to go home and start looking here and say, wait a minute, what does this have to say about gifts? Yeah, so we'll talk about it. So I'll just give you a little teaser up front. You can receive a gift, or you can receive giftedness, which is a package of gifts. You can have, as you mentioned, you can have the gifts of ministry and administration and helps. Those are all part of a giftedness. When do you receive the gifts? You receive the gifts at salvation. You don't pray for gifts later and then are given additional gifts. So the Holy Spirit and God will give. In fact, you read it, it says God gave the church the gifts of pastors, evangelists, pastors, evangelists, what else was it? I've just dropped off two lists, So. But anyway. So we will cover that, and you'll know that very well when we get there. And then when we get to chapter 11, we'll talk about evangelism and the believer. How many evangelize on a regular basis? You want to go out? Yeah. My wife does. She likes to go out and hand out in the shopping mall until she gets kicked out.
Well, that happened just once.
But why? What's the number one reason people don't like to evangelize? What is it? Is it kind of like, is it fear of man? Is it fear of reaction? Or is it just kind of fear of preparedness? Like, I don't know what to say. But there is a statement. I think I heard John MacArthur says that if you know enough to be saved, then you know enough to evangelize. Because all you have to do is put into words why you believe and what you believe. So. All right. And then we go into obedience. What is obedience? Why is it important for us to obey? Right? Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, you keep my commandments? Right? And then chapter 13, God's will and guidance. This is like really one of those things where people think about it all the time. Like, I just want to do what God wants me to do. Right? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever thought that? You know, I just want to make whatever I do. Or should I go to college? Should I go to this church? Should I get married? Should I have kids? How many kids? You know, what does God want me to do here? And so when we get to that, you'll be surprised. It's not that difficult to determine what God's will is for each of us. Okay, so any questions on the topic? Should there be any additional topics? Did we leave anything out? Okay. All right, so how do we prepare for each class? Well, first thing is there is a sermon that has been prepared for each one of the classes, or each one of the lessons. And so each lesson, like I said, I think lesson one is 1 week. Lesson two, I think that one's 3 weeks. Oh, no, it's reversed, sorry. Lesson one is 3 weeks. Lesson two is 1 week. Lesson three is 2 weeks, and then all the way through lesson seven, there'll be 2 weeks each. And then from then on, 8 through 13 is 1 week each. And that adds up to 21 weeks. Today is 1 week, so that's 22, and then the Q&A is 23. So you'll have up to, in some cases, you can have 2 weeks to do the homework and memorize. Oh, and I didn't talk about quiz yet, but we'll get there. But when you memorize the verse, then when we do the quiz, you can just write the verse on the back of the quiz, and then I'll go over it. And it's, we're not grading you. You're not going to get an A or a B or a C or whatever. But the quizzes, based on your understanding of what the questions are and how you answer them, will help me then to focus on some of the material to help you better understand the fundamentals here. So, okay, so you can also read the Indicated Scripture version for each of the lessons and the points, you know, inside your books, and then fill in the blanks. So there's a lot of biblical page flipping. You'll be going back and forth from verse to verse to fill in the blanks. And you can paraphrase what the verse says, or you can just print the verse in there, however you want to do that. And what I would suggest is that you get a little, small 1-inch folder, 1.5-inch folder, binder is the term. And then when you get your homework back, you can put those in the binder, and then when there's handouts, you can put those in based on the lesson. And then you have that with you, because then you can always refer back to this. So I'll go through and I'll make sure that your responses to the answers are correct, because I don't want you to put an incorrect answer in there and then referring back to that 10 years later and have the wrong answer in there, and then blaspheming or sending someone to hell for learning the wrong thing. It's a responsibility here, right? So I think, gee, that was the lesson today, right? Chris was talking about Paul's being a steward, right, of the mystery of faith. So, okay. And then you want to make notes. Any time you have questions during the time you're doing your homework, you can always bring those to class, and we will we'll bring it up and discuss it. And then all your information can be found here at www.gty.org/FOF. And those are all sermons that John MacArthur has done. Some go back maybe 20 years even, or more, 30 years in there. So if you listen to those, it'll help you. And then it used to be that we used to have a CD that would come with the books, but I think, CD let's see how it works. The CD to you is like the 8-track to me. So, anybody even know what an 8-track is, right? Anybody know what an 8-track?
Yes.
Let's see, have our show of hands. How many 8-trackers? All right, yeah, there's quite a few, right? So we went from 8, so when I got my first 8-track, it was already obsolete, because the cassettes were there, and then when I finally got a cassette, then they were going into CDs, so I can never stay up on this stuff. My wife's pretty good. She's, When I need to know something technologically on the phone, I have to ask her.
And I'm no good.
That just tells you how bad I am. Okay. Any questions about anything we covered so far? Right. So what do we got time-wise? I tried to set my timer here just to make sure I didn't run over. I'm doing okay here. What I want to do now is to hand out the quiz. Okay, so we have a quiz, and I want you to, when you read the questions, sometimes the wording is a little bit tricky, but it's that way on purpose because it will help you to, when you understand the question, and if you get it wrong, that's fine, but then when you hear the right answer, it'll help you know what the fundamental is, if I said that right. I don't know. But it's a trick. People call them, hey, that's a trick question. It is a little bit tricky. It's not a trick question as if to trip you up, but it's tricky in that the wording is specific, so that if you know, you know, scripture, if you know the fundamental, you'll get the answer correct. Okay, that's what I kind of mean to say there. So let me give you handles out, and you guys can start them, and I'll collect them, and then we'll go over the answers next week. So, I don't want to do that. You guys have any questions about anything so far? Okay, now the one other thing I'll tell you about is in the book, the Fundamentals of the Faith handout book, I think that all of the scriptures for memorization are NASB. I don't have any more. I don't have the 50, but there's a copy machine right down there. Yeah, so I just want you to do this. So I don't say that you have to memorize the scripture based on the translation in the FOF book. For instance, if you use the ESV Bible, and that's your main Bible that you use at home, I would just suggest that you don't memorize this version, you memorize the version that you use. Okay? It's very important that if you're going to be using scripture in, you know, sharing the gospel with someone, that, and you're using your own Bible, and you quote a scripture, you go and that's what it says in the Bible that you have. And that's why it's important also to use a Bible that's going to be around. You don't want to use a Bible that's continually, you know, changing, because then what you memorize scripturally can change, and then it's not in agreement with what's in your Bible. So anyway, I just throw that out there, is that that's the NASB, and if you're using a King James Version, then just memorize that, you know, the particular scripture in the King James Version. Okay, and then when you write it down in the back of the quiz, I'll go ahead and reference whatever word might be missed in whatever translation you wrote down in the back. Okay, go ahead and do the questions and see how it goes. Okay, so just as I mentioned to you about the, my wife has all of the technological advances. Yeah, so she says that you can scan. What are you going to scan that, or how do you scan it?
Yes, have your new member scan below to join the group.
Oh, okay. So if you haven't already signed up, there was a handout at the back of the church that some people signed up on, and some others did not. They just heard it from the bulletin and showed up today. And so if you could scan is this called a QR?
So the church app and... to join this group, click to join it. Yeah, so you can scan it like that real quick, or do it
Works.
On your own.
Are we going to talk about translations next week at all?
We'll be talking about translations and how we got the Bible. And so, you know, just out of curiosity, and how many books are there in the Bible?
66.
66, and how many authors? How many authors were there? There's like 40, you know, and we say approximately 40 because there's a couple of books in the Bible where the author is not specifically named. One is Hebrews, so the book of Hebrews, while Paul is probably the author, it isn't specifically stated. So it's you know, it's kind of hard to ascribe him to it if he didn't cover it. Normally he says, you know, it's kind of interesting, when we write a letter, where do we sign it? At the very bottom. So you got to read the whole letter before you know who it is. Most people flip to the bottom and say, who is this from, right? But in the epistles, which are letters, right, how does Paul start? I, Paul, and Timothy. Right? He's telling you who it's from right off the bat. So, but in the book of Hebrews, it doesn't say that. And I think the book of Esther doesn't tell us who the author of that is either. So you had originally these scrolls, right? So the word, you know, Bible or Bible, we translated books, but originally it was just scrolls. So you had these scrolls of the individual books of the Bible, and you had to carry these scrolls all over the place, you know. And then at one point, or at some point in after the last book was written, which is the last book, the last book chronologically written. That would be the book of Revelation, right? That's the end. And that was written by John, right, while he was on the island of Patmos. So that was about 90 AD. Okay, and then you still have all these loose scrolls. You know, people transcribe them, and carry them around. And then it was actually probably in the first century there that Paul actually mentions bring the parchments. So they've gone from maybe rolling everything up into a parchment type paper, and then they're binding. Okay, so you're getting a little more sophisticated in how the word is handled. And then in the first century, they recognized all the books of the Old Testament, right? So, but you're still having the New Testament written all the way from after Christ's death until 90 AD. So all of the Gospels that took place then, the writing took place after Christ's death and resurrection up to the book of Revelation is written in 90 AD. So then you have that period. But how do we know that all the books of the Bible in the Old Testament were legit? What is our best indication that the Old Testament that we have today was the Old Testament that was recognized as the Old Testament at that time?
The individual samples that have been discovered?
Through that, that's one thing, yeah. But even back then, we have the word of one person who legitimized the whole Old Testament, right? And that was who?
Christ.
Yeah. Jesus. Right? Do you remember the verse that he said? He says the Old Testament, they testify of me. He talked about the books of, he said, you have Moses and the prophets. Those two words are, when they say Moses and the prophets, would encompass the entire Old Testament. And it would be all that would testify of Jesus Christ. So he legitimized the Old Testament right there, right? And even though that they had already been used widely, everybody recognized them, at least in Jewish culture. And in the synagogues, they would read those through those scrolls. And then in the New Testament, though, you have the writings that are taking place from the Gospels all the way to Revelation. And then how do we know that those were, or where those came from? Well, we know one is that Paul wrote to churches, right? And in those churches, they would read those individual letters that he wrote. And then later, Paul himself recognized that he's writing scripture. And then Peter authenticates even what Paul's writing and says, well, Paul is writing, and we recognize his writing as scripture as well. And so they then capture all those. But is there a way for people to insert fakeries, if you will? How do you know that it's legit? What are a couple ways that you can look at a scripture or an epistle and know that it's truly being inspired by the Holy Spirit through the writer. There's a few things that they use to validate. One is that the epistle will reference back to Old Testament scripture, right? So there's, and if a, one thing that they would do, have anybody heard of the Apocrypha? The Apocrypha books, okay, no, that's a, so the Catholic Church has a bunch of books that they've included in their Bible called the Apocrypha. And the reason the Apocrypha are not recognized as scripture is because there's no prophecy, meaning future telling, and there's also no reference to scripture in the Old Testament. And they don't refer back to any scripture. In other words, somebody's just writing a letter, but yet there is no scriptural reference with it. And there's a lot of other things that could be looked at in those apocryphal writings that would invalidate them. I'm not going to quote the name of it, but in one of them, they talk about praying for the dead. People who have died, right? So where do they do that nowadays? Catholic Church, right? So, but we recognize that as that's incorrect. When we talk about scripture, we talk about the Bible. Is it? Can you pray for the dead? Somebody who's died, what are you going to do? You going to pray for them? How can you pray for them? They're dead, right? But in the Catholic Church, you can pray for the dead to get them out of purgatory, which is another false false belief in the Catholic Church. So, what does it say in Hebrews? It says, it is appointed once unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. Was there anywhere that it said you go to purgatory until you're cleansed, and then after a while you're toasted for a while, and then after that you get into heaven? No, that's not what it says. It says appointed once unto man to die, and after this the judgment. So how can you fit purgatory in there? Well, one of the apocryphal books talks about the dead praying for the dead. So you can right off the bat eliminate those because they are not scripturally consistent. They're some of the things they say are just their falsehoods, right? So, anyway, that's how we end up with what we have today, and we'll certainly go into that in next week and following 2 weeks. We'll go through kind of an overview of the Bible and what's in each book in the Old Testament and New Testament. So, okay, any other questions? That was pretty much the intro for the class, and we'll get into it next week. Y'all have your books, and so home and fill it out. First, just going through the book. There's a lot of page flipping because you'll be listing all the individual books of the Bible in each one of the orders there. So, any questions? All right, well, let's pray for us and we'll dismiss. Father God, thank you for the time together. Thank you, Lord, for those you have brought here. And we just pray for your blessing on each of them and your blessing over the next 22 more weeks as we delve into scripture and we learn about who you are and who Jesus Christ is and the Holy Spirit, Lord, and about the church and salvation and evangelism and what your will is for believers. And so we're looking forward to that and just praying that you open our eyes and our ears to hear and put your word in our heart, Lord, as we try to memorize scripture that we can then use when we want to share the gospel with people, but also, Lord, that it helps to reinforce what the fundamentals are in our own minds. And so we just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.